dear members of St. Timothy, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow redeemed in the blood of Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I first need to clarify, I only invited the people from back forward because this being the Labor Day weekend and other things going on, the numbers are a little down this week. Don't go back to Pastor and tell him, hey, you know. Because normally, sitting where you do, that's fine, but it's just, you know, with the holiday and things like that, attendance is always affected. My text for this morning is in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, but I'm going to move us back a few chapters and go to chapter 2. And the text is based on verses 1 through 10, but I'm going to share just some selected verses to highlight. And you are dead in the trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You've worked on a project for a long time. And finally, after the hours, weeks, maybe months, it has finally come to the end. It's done. And you stand back and you admire what you have accomplished, what you have achieved. We've probably all had an experience like that. Earlier this summer, I had to take out the old stairway steps going into our house that we had purchased when we moved here. They were concrete and pulling away from the house, and they were actually a hazard. And so I took my little sledgehammer and began banging away and took out the sidewalk that led up to it and hauled it off to the dump and began building this deck entrance, which was quite a challenge for a guy who can't cut a board straight. And it took me, oh goodness, all of 2 months to complete this deck. But when I had finished, I actually stood back, as I had described, and marveled at what I had achieved over that period of time. And I have to admit, even today, whenever I drive into the house and the garage is in the front, you know, and I see that deck there, I have a little twinge, well, not a little twinge, a big thump of pride in what I have achieved. Tomorrow's Labor Day. This is Labor Day weekend. And I looked it up and it's found out that it is an old holiday. It was established in 1894 and promoted out of the labor movement that had begun years before. And on this weekend, we are supposed to acknowledge the labor that has taken place in this country and those who did it are the laborers in all their various vocations. Not just the guy out there laying the concrete and building the bridges and the buildings, but the engineers and the housewives and all who labor in their various vocations. And today and this weekend, we are to take time and stand back and admire, yes, admire what they have done and the achievements that they have accomplished. And yes, what we have accomplished in our labor, in our vocations that God has given us. There's another area that we're reminded to give thanks for. In these verses, we are reminded that when it comes to our salvation, we can also stand back in awe and admire what has been accomplished, but not what we have accomplished. Not the labor that we have been put forth that we might be saved. But to admire what God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, has accomplished for us that is eternal. Because without it, we would be in real trouble. Paul begins in verses 1, 2, and 3, some of them. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, and were by nature children of wrath. What were we without the labor of God? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins. They're not two different categories of sin, but two words that describe the one condition. Transgressions or trespasses comes from the Greek word meaning to fall to a side, to cross the line, to trespass in a place we do not belong. Because of the sinful nature that we have inherited from Adam, we have a tendency to trespass, to cross the line into places we do not belong, and to follow the path that Satan wants us to walk. When we sin, we leave God's path and play in the devil's playground. Some people put up in their yards, "Do not trespass. Keep out. Keep off the grass." But not Satan. Satan has a welcome sign. "Come on over. Walk on this green grass. You're welcome." And we do. To sin. Sin comes from the Greek word meaning to miss the mark. God has set up a target. It's His law. And He expects us to hit the target, not just some of the times and not just in some of the places, but in the bullseye every time. And we don't. And when we miss, we have sinned. And we miss. As we confess in our confessions, we miss in our thoughts, words, and our deeds, in those things that we do and those things that we don't do. We do not love God as we ought. We do not love our neighbor as we should, or as ourselves. And to cross the line, to miss the mark, is death. And it includes us all. Paul even includes himself. We were by nature objects of wrath. But notice, Paul uses the past tense. He's writing to Christians. And when you read your Bibles, and you're reading it particularly, well, the Old Testament too, the New Testament, pay attention to the tenses. Paul says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You were by nature children of wrath." Something has changed. God has gone to work on your behalf. God has made you, God has made us alive with Christ Jesus. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son, has come to our rescue. Who, as we read in Philippians, who, though he was in the form God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You didn't go to the cross. You didn't obey the law. I didn't go to the cross. I didn't obey the law. God in Jesus Christ went to work and took on our human flesh, bore the law without sin, died on that cross to shed his body and blood as the payment to redeem us from our sin. There's a word we use a lot, redeem. I began the introduction to the sermon, as I generally do, fellow redeemed. The story goes that there was a little boy who had built himself a sailboat. And he worked for weeks and maybe months building this sailboat, really from scratch. And when he had finished it, he stood back and marveled at this sailboat and excitedly went into town where there was a stream, maybe a small river, not really big, but passed through town on its way to something larger. And he went there to sail his sailboat, to see it glide on the water. And he put it into the water, and it sailed beautifully. Almost really too good. Because the wind caught the sail and moved it out further into this creek or small river beyond his reach, beyond where he could go. And it sailed down the river, and he ran after it, but he couldn't catch it. And after all that work, it was gone. One day, sometime later, he was walking on his way home to school, and he walked past what we would call a general store. And in the window there was his sailboat for sale. And he rushed into the store owner and he said, "That sailboat is mine. I built it. I made it." And the salesman said, "It'll cost you $20. But it's mine. I made it. But I bought it from someone else. It will cost you $20. He went home dejected, but determined that he was going to do all he could do to raise that $20 and buy his sailboat. And finally, after doing all the chores he could around the house and in the neighborhood, he collected his $20. He went back and handed it to the store owner and said, "Here is the $20. And he gave him his sailboat. He redeemed his sailboat for $20. God had made you and I. We are his creation. But we've sailed down the river in our sin. But he redeemed us. Not with $20. Not with gold or silver. But with the precious body and blood of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has bought us back from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and filled with forgiveness, hope, and salvation. What's changed is God has made us alive in and through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions," that blows me away. "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Did you notice those past tenses? Seated, raised, seated us. Yes, we are here physically, but spiritually God has raised us up. He has seated us. There is a place reserved for you Because God in Christ has redeemed you. You belong to Him. Although we have not yet taken physical possession of it, we have spiritual possession. And one day it will be ours completely. For, as those famous words in Ephesians 2, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. J. Vernon McGee wrote, "Man is a complete failure. He is incapable of saving himself. God comes on this scene of death with his mercy. He doesn't have too little. He isn't too late. He has a surplus, for he is an infinite God with a rich and infinite mercy. He has what mankind needs. He has what you need. He has made you alive with Christ Jesus." And things are made for a purpose. When I built that deck, I didn't just build it so that I can drive into the driveway or walk out in front and say, "Oh, wow, look what I did." But so people can have access to the house more safely. God has done this for you and me with a purpose, so that we can be His, so that we can be saved, we can have forgiveness, life, and salvation, and so that we may bring Him fruits. We are not created to be window dressing, for we are His workmanship, as Paul writes, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As the sun was created to shine, the rose to give forth its delightful fragrance, the bird to fly, so we are created anew to do the works of God, and so glorify Him who has created us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Lutheran theologian George Steckert wrote, "Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being, makes us partakers of His gifts and virtues, is formed in our life and walk. His holiness, purity, humility, gentleness, goodness, tenderness, so on, shine forth in our walk as Christians. All the works are ready. They only await the living doers and their doing. The road is entirely made. All that is needed is that we walk on them." We recognize and give thanks to God this day and this weekend especially for the honest labor and all the laborers who have labored and who labor today, that we are able to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And we pray we may also labor faithfully in the vocations which God has given to us. But chiefly, we give thanks to God for the labor of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all the benefits His labor brings to us. Life, salvation, peace with God, the promise that our prayers are heard and answered by a loving God, and so on. And we pray that our labor may produce fruits in keeping with His great love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.